Mossad, Israel's foreign intelligence agency, activities here, they have penetrations all through the US government. They do better than the KGB, said the expert, whom the magazine did not identify. The Newsweek article continued, with the help of American Jews in and out of government, Mossad looks for any softening in US support and tries to get any technical intelligence the administration is unwilling to give to Israel. Mossad can go to any distinguished American Jew and ask for his help, says a former CIA agent. The appeal is a simple one: when the call went out and no one heeded it, the Holocaust resulted. The US tolerates Mossad's operations on American soil, partly because of reluctance to anger the American Jewish community, emphasis supplied. Penetration by Israel continued at such a high level that a senior State Department official who has held the highest career positions related to the Middle East confides, "I urged several times that the US quit trying to keep secrets from Israel. Let them have everything. They always get what they want anyway. When we try to keep secrets, it always backfires." An analysis prepared by the CIA in 1979, entitled Israel, Foreign Intelligence and Security Services, demonstrates how the US continues to in carrying out its mission to collect positive intelligence. The principal function of Mossad is to conduct agent operations against the Arab nations and their official representatives and installations throughout the world, particularly in Western Europe and the United States. Objectives in Western countries are equally important, as in the USSR and East Europe, to the Israeli intelligence service. Mossad collects intelligence regarding Western, Vatican and UN policies toward the Near East, promotes arms deals for the benefit of the IDF, and acquires data for silencing anti-Israel factions in the West. P. Emphasis under methods of operation. The CIA booklet describes the way in which Mossad makes use of domestic pro-Israeli groups. It states that Mossad over the years has enjoyed some rapport with highly placed persons and government offices in every country of importance to Israel. It adds, within Jewish communities in almost every country of the world, there are Zionists and other sympathizers who render strong support to such contacts are carefully nurtured and serve as channels for information, deception material, propaganda, and other purposes. Mossad activities are generally conducted through Israeli official and semi-official. The Israeli intelligence service depends heavily on the various Jewish communities and organizations abroad for recruiting agents and eliciting general information. The aggressively ideological nature of Zionism, which emphasizes that all Jews belong to Israel and must return to Israel, has had its drawbacks in enlisting support for intelligence operations. However, since there is considerable opposition to Zionism among Jews aware of this fact, Israeli intelligence representatives usually operate discreetly within Jewish communities and are under instructions to handle their missions with utmost tact to avoid embarrassment to Israel. They also attempt to penetrate anti-Zionist element in order to neutral. The theft of scientific data is a major objective of Mossad operations, which is often attempted by trying to recruit local agents. The CIA report continues, in addition to the large-scale acquisition of published scientific papers and technical journals from all over the world through overt channels, the Israelis devote a considerable portion of their covert operations to obtaining scientific and technical intelligence. This had included attempts to penetrate certain classified defense projects in the US and other Western nations. Leaks of classified information remain a major problem for policymakers. One official says that during the Carter administration, his colleagues feared to speak up even in small private meetings. When Israeli requests were turned down at top secret interagency meetings, the Israeli military attaché, the political officer, or the ambassador, or all of them at once, were lodging protests within hours. They knew exactly who said what, even though nothing had been put on paper. He adds, "No one needs trouble like that." He says that the Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs was often subjected to pressure. Frequently, the Israeli embassy would demand copies of documents that were still in the draft stage and had not reached his desk. to strike back at government officials considered to be unsympathetic to Israeli needs. The Israeli lobby singles them out for personal attack and even the wrecking of their careers. In January 1977, a broad-scale purge was attempted immediately after the inauguration of President Carter. The perpetrator was Senator Richard Stone of Florida, a Democrat, a passionate supporter of Israel. When he was newly installed as chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on the Middle East, he brought along with him a hit list on a call at the White House. In his view, 15 officials were not sufficiently supportive of Israel and its weapon needs, and he wanted them transferred to positions where their views would create no problems for Israel. Marked for removal were William Quant, Brzezinski's assistant for Middle East matters, and Lej Anka, who had served on the National Security Council under Ford. The others were career military officers, most of them colonels. Stone's demands were rejected by Brzezinski, and, according to a senior White House official, after pressing reasonably hard for several days, the senator gave up. Although unsuccessful, his demands caused a stir. One officer says, "I find it very ironic that a U.S. senator goes to a U.S. president's national security advisor and tells him to fire Americans for insufficient loyalty to another country." Admiral Thomas Mora recalls a dramatic example of Israeli lobby power from his days as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. At the time of the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, Mordechai Gur, the defense attaché at the Israeli embassy, who later became commander-in-chief of Israeli forces, came to Mora demanding that the U.S. provide Israel with aircraft equipped with a high-technology air-to-surface anti-tank missile called the Maverick. At the time, the U.S. had only one squadron so equipped. Mora recalls telling Gur, "I can't let you have those aircraft. We have just one squadron. Besides, we've been testifying before the Congress convincing them we need this equipment. If we gave you our only squadron, Congress would raise hell with us." Do you know what he said? "Gur told me, 'You get us the planes, I'll take care of Congress.'" Mora pauses, then adds, "And he did. America's only squadron equipped with Mavericks went to Israel." Mora, now a senior counselor at the Georgetown University Center for Strategic and International Studies, says he strongly opposed the transfer, but was overruled by political expediency at the presidential level. He notes President Richard Nixon was then in the throes of Watergate. "But," he adds, "I've never seen a president I don't care who he is stand up to them, the Israelis. It just boggles your mind. They always get what they want. The Israelis know what is going on all the time. I got to the point where I wasn't writing anything down. If the American people understood what a grip those people have got on our government, they would rise up in arms. Our citizens don't have any idea what goes on." Emphasis supplied, Jewish groups in the U.S. are often pressed into service to soften up the Secretary of State and other officials, especially in advance of a visit to the U.S. by the Israeli Prime Minister. A senior defense official explains, "Israel would always have a long shopping list for the Prime Minister to take up. We would decide which items were worth making into an issue, and which were not. We would try to work things out in advance. There was the constant concern that the Prime Minister might take an arms issue straight to the President, and the tendency was to clear the agenda of everything possible." On one such occasion, Ed Sanders, President Carter's advisor on Jewish affairs, brought a complaint to the National Security Council offices, "I'm getting a lot of flack from Jewish congressmen on the ALQ-95J. What is this thing? And why are we being so nasty about it? Shouldn't we let Israel have it? The president is getting a lot of abuse because the Pentagon won't turn it loose. It was a high-technology radar jamming device, and soon it was approved for shipment to Israel. In advance of Carter's decisions to provide a high-technology missile to Israel, a procession of Jewish groups came, one after another, to say, 'Please explain to us why the Pentagon is refusing to sell AIM-9L missiles to Israel. Don't you know what this means? This missile is necessary so the Israelis will be able to shoot down the counterpart missile on the MiG-21, which carries the 8-ball 935. A former high-ranking official in security affairs cites the intimidating effect of this procession on career specialists. When you have to explain your position.